In this bonus episode of Fictional Hangover, we discuss forming the Lady Janes with matching knitting needles, living comfortably in an attic, and microwaving water with Cynthia Hand, Brody Meadows, and Jody Ashton, the authors of My Plain Jane.
Hey everybody, welcome to Fictional Hangover, a podcast about young adult and new adult books, series and authors that is full of spoilers. I'm Claire.
And I'm Amanda. We're just going to head right into the game of Would You Rather with Cynthia Hand, Brody Meadows, and Jody Ashton. We hope you enjoy! Claire, is it time?
It's time. It's very much time. It's time.
It's time. It's time for Would You Rather, and we have so many guests today.
This is the most. I love every second of it.
It's fantastic. Me too. So, guests, do you want to introduce yourselves?
Okay. I'm Cynthia Hand.
Hi.
I'm Brody Ashton.
Hello.
I'm Jody Meadows.
Hi. Oh my gosh. And together you are
the Lady Janie.
We didn't talk about synchronizing that part.
Yeah, I feel like you need like rings or something and you like touch them together. Yes. Sparkles come out.
Yeah. I mean, we do have matching knitting needles.
But we can nice. Do. Could like, you touch them together?
Fox, I think yeah, we should do
that. Okay.
Yeah. I think yarn goes everywhere.
Yes. All of that. Yeah.
That's accurate, actually.
I need that to happen. Can you guys like?
I feel like you need to share your like your favorite knitting pattern now, and then because my mother's a knitter, I'll get her to knit them.
Oh, there's too many. That's like picking a favorite kid. Jody often sends us what she thinks we'll like every day. Mm. You know, almost. Yeah.
Nice. That's what I do instead of working on
the book. I have seen an absolutely wonderful Wonder Woman shawl that I really want my mum to knit. So yes, it's wonderful.
Yeah, we've seen that one.
She's already done her own patterns for R2-D2 for my fingerless gloves and a Star Trooper hat for a beanie because I love a bit of Star Wars. So Wonder Woman. Oh yes, and Assassin's Creed. But when I had my little son. And he was a baby, he had this knitted her Assassin's Creed hoodie with the beak and the A on the back.
So cute.
Nice.
My friend Matt Kirby writes Assassin's Creed novels.
Really? That's amazing. Yeah. I do have some of them somewhere in the background.
Pick them up.
One somewhere. And I really need to sort my bookshelves out. It's quite...
All of my books are in boxes right now because I'm about to move. So it's just
yes, but mine are still unpacked in the order I unpacked them in 5 years ago. May have been rearranged slightly as I've gone through. The more trashy ones are currently being hidden by a princess later, also, you know.
Oh no!
Oh, those ones not on
display artfully. Like Jody's in the background, yeah. Are there like shirtless men? You need to have those on.
I will put them under the dodgy pile. Let's just say they'll never be covered on the podcast. They really won't.
You never know.
They really won't.
We might run out of books someday. What? I don't know.
Probably.
Claire, should we start?
Probably.
Would you rather?
First question. This is the one we asked on social media. So, would you rather be trapped inside a teacup or a pocket watch? Obviously, you are a ghost.
Obviously.
I voted for this on your site.
Oh, good.
And now I'm like, oh, maybe I should change my answer. I can see both. But I picked pocket watch because I wanted to go places. I think teacup is more stationary. So
I'm an inside cat, so teacup.
Pocket watch, just to be different from the other two. And that's how we do.
Cynthia picks a pocket watch. She wants to travel.
Never mind then. Yes, pocket watch because the gears move and
you can still be different.
Yeah, you can have a different reason.
And Brody's the one who doesn't notice little details. So yeah.
Claire, what do you pick?
I would go with teacup because obviously tea. And I still think a teacup could travel. Yeah, I couldn't obviously fight the ticking. It would drive me absolutely bonkers. I couldn't do it.
I just actually, I Facebooked about microwaving my tea, and that I got that reaction that you, the nearly puking reaction that you're doing right now.
I'm gonna have to leave this conversation
on Facebook. Yes. Yeah, especially. I'm sorry.
She's judging
you. I'm going to have to show you a video that I saw of a woman making hot tea. Mm-hmm. And not only did it involve, I know you should be, it not only did it involve like microwaving a mug of water, but she made like a mix before. So 1 cup of Lipton instant tea, 1 cup of Country Time lemonade.
No.
1 cup of Tang.
No, stop it.
That's horrible.
1 cup of sugar, followed by another cup of sugar with some like cinnamon and cloves on top.
Are you trying to invoke some ancient evil with this recipe? Like, you need to do it at midnight.
I didn't come up with this.
Dance around naked. This is awful.
It was this other strange woman.
Very fast, very dark.
She microwaved her cup of water. Well, you were supposed to stir it, but like the bowl wasn't quite big enough for stirring. So I think it just kind of got layered. And then you microwave the cup of water and you put a scoop into your cup of water and stir it up. And then you have
that's
hot tea.
That's not even tea.
Or something possibly.
No, no, thank you very much.
What is Tang?
Tang.
Oh, okay.
The astronauts drink it.
It's like, it's like an orange powder.
Nowadays,
mostly sugar. Yeah, I didn't know they still made it, honestly. I was surprised.
Maybe she just found it in her cupboard. Maybe they don't make it anymore.
You know,
she was like,
sorry,
I'll
but lockdown
this.
Is no excuse for this kind of stuff. No.
She's scavenging for supplies. And she only found
Tang. I
didn't
even know you could get instant tea until like a few months ago. It's just not a thing here. It's a tea bag or not. I mean, it might be on the shelves, but no. I get wrong for putting... The most disgusting tea habit I've got is making a... I've got giant mugs and making a mug of tea with the tea bag in the mug. But that's because it's as big as a teapot. And that's... that I get... Yes.
You make yours in an electric kettle? We all, when we went to England, we all came home and bought electric kettles.
Pretty much immediately, yeah.
Never ordered a stovetop kettle. That's my liking. And it's much more energy efficient to use an electric kettle, even like just to boil the water before you make pasta and things. Mm. It's like...
I have a stovetop kettle and use it in my French press.
Okay. I'll allow you that, because you're not microwaving water. Who microwaves water? Oh...
A lot of people.
No one I know.
I'm literally not here. Anyway, moving on. Amanda, you pocket watch or teacup?
Oh, I didn't answer this question. I'm pocket watch, and I don't have a problem with the ticking. Like, I can almost always hear my watch that's on my wrist right now ticking, so I'm used to it. So I'm going to be a pocket watch.
You
also, they're very fashionable. Uh huh. Yeah.
Ticks?
Yeah. It's a Swatch so watch. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I remember Swatches. That's so cool.
Yeah. I've had this one for a long time, and it still works.
I bought my husband a watch.
And they'll always fix it for
watch,
free.
And it ticks, and I'm like, nope, it's going in the drawer. Because he loves watches, proper watches. And every single one, I bought him a box specifically to store the watches in, so I couldn't hear the ticking. I absolutely detest it.
Oh, man. I wonder if I put this up next to the microphone, if you guys can hear it ticking. Probably not. It's not that loud.
Anywho.
It's a mysterious ticking noise. And then I'll get out Harry Potter.
I have my son jamming his
everyone.
Little watch.
No,
I mean, he's only 5 and he's trying to learn to tell the time. So he has got a little plastic watch. And he had that jammed into my ear earlier today. Go, look, mommy, it's ticking. I like the tick, but not the talk. Fair enough. Anywho, show them next question.
Yes, let's go on to the next question. Would you rather be a human possessed by a ghost or a ghost compelled by a beacon?
I would rather be a ghost compelled by a beacon because I would have my own free agency some of the time.
How do you know? Are you, did you ask me to do that right now? Is that why I'm doing this? I love that. Helen, every single, like every 5 seconds after she found out, am I doing this because you want me to do
Helen
this?
Helen going crazy was one of the best bits. This? Yeah.
Yes.
Calm down.
Yes. Yeah, I would do Ghost Compelled by a Beacon. Same reason. Because.
Same. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're all agreed.
I think we are all agreed. Yeah.
Claire, do you want to be possessed?
We should write a book
together.
Great
idea.
Okay. You should.
You do one about Calamity Jane.
Why did you just now think of this?
Yeah?
Yeah, this is fun.
I really think you should do it. Although I still would like for you guys to burgle and write a G.I. Jane.
That's part of our fan fiction, I'm sure.
Yes.
We're full of surprises. You never know.
One day. One day.
It just so changed the spelling of Jane to J-A-Y-N-E.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. And then it's Firefly.
Just add a little bit in there. Gender swap Jane.
Oh, and we could all knit our Jane hats.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we won't get sued.
It's fine.
No, it's fine.
Okay, I'm tempted by human possessed by ghosts just because it's one of those weird things I've always wanted to try. Why not?
That is weird.
I mean, am I going to be possessed for, 15 years Rochester style, or is it going to be for 5 minutes? Could I just jump into, are they just jumping in for giggles? The ghost will probably jump into me for 5 minutes and go, this person is boring, and move on, which is fine.
If someone possesses you, I'll hit you in the head with a teacup until you're not possessed anymore. I do. I can throw 4,500 miles.
I believe the technical term is booping.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right.
Bobbing. You bop me on the head. That's fine. You bop me on the head.
Is it bobbing?
Booping.
Okay.
Yeah, bop me on the head until I am unpossessed. But it'll be an interesting experience.
Right. That was during the Pokemon Go era.
Yes. The summer we got sunburns. Yeah. And all our steps in.
Spent 6 weeks outside. That's enough
for life. Yeah,
should have you covered now through quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. All of those weeks of Pokemon Go years ago. It's good enough.
I thought there was something wrong with my foot the other day. So I looked down and there was a weird mark and I just realised it's actually a tan line from my sandals. So sitting out in the garden in lockdown. True story. I don't tan easy. I don't usually tan outside. My back garden.
Which one of us is snorting while they're laughing? Because that's cracking me up.
It's not that sort of thing.
Probably me.
I love it.
Well, now I'm going to...
What about you? Eddie, you.
I'm going to think about it.
Please.
But I think we all answered. We all want to be beacon compelled. Mm-hmm. Everybody but you. Free.
Yeah, I'm used to it.
What's our next question?
Next question. Would you rather read the Book of the Dead or Charlotte's Notebook? Charlotte's Notebook.
Charlotte's Notebook.
Is it just because you guys don't
Charlotte's
know
notebook.
That?
Cynthia is a little bit biased on that.
Then don't you already Charlotte. Know what's in the notebook?
Kind of do, but it would be pretty awesome to see it.
That's true.
Where did we have the Book of the Dead?
Is that not what the book is called? What's the book called?
It's called that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wrote this question.
I've just written a 5-page summary, and I'm like, I swear to God, I've called the Book of the Dead 6 times.
I'm going to say Book of the Dead.
Okay. Okay.
There's this fun thing that happens when you write a book and then you publish it, and then you forget everything that happens in it.
And this one's been out for a little while. It's fine.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years. Yeah. And longer since we worked on it, so yeah.
Book of the Dead.
Any reason why?
Just because I don't remember it.
It seems interesting.
So you really have to find out what it is. Yeah. What does this Book of the Dead do?
What does it do? Yeah, let's do that.
Well, I feel like I should say Charlotte's Journal, but I'm just really curious about the Book of the Dead. And I can I could just like, ask what Charlotte.
Is it? Where is it?
Oh, I know where it is.
Okay.
Where is it?
In the desk drawer.
Oh, okay.
I totally expect you to just place to put it.
It's right here. I also want to read the Book of the Dead, but I want to read the Book of the Dead like the Mummy style.
That's what I was thinking. You totally stole my answer.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Then we would raise people from the dead and that would be no good.
Oh, I mean, we don't have to raise people from the dead. That's optional.
I do love that line, though, where she says, no harm ever came from reading a book.
Oh, no, you must not read from the book.
Not very dramatic. Yeah, every time the Book of the Dead was involved, I did go full mummy in my head. It was like, don't do it. Don't do it. Yeah, yeah.
No. Imhotep's coming. No.
I've been fancy watching the Mummy as well. So I might have to watch it afterwards, though. Plus Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we should. Should we watch it together on Zoom?
Yeah.
After we're done? I think we should.
I can see it right
now. Go watch party.
Oh, it's next to the Scorpion King, so that's a bad thing. No.
That was not a very good movie.
No, it wasn't.
I'm so glad I'm not alone in that.
Not very good. The Rock looks like he was drawn with a crayon.
By a 4-year-old. You've never seen The Rock.
Not a good look. Oh man. It's like the powdered instant version of The Rock.
The Tang of the Rock.
Tang. Tang of the Rock.
What's our next question? Would you rather wander through the bog for a week or be trapped in an attic for a year? And I know these times aren't accurate, but you guys don't remember anyway, so it's fine.
Yeah.
It was the moors in our book, right? Not a bog.
I think they called it a bog at one point, but yes, we'll say it's the moors. More it's more important.
We don't really have bogs.
It's more important.
I'm hoping someone would catch it.
Boom, boom.
Okay, so would you rather wander through the moors for a week or be trapped in an attic for a year?
I think I'd rather wander through the moors, but she almost dies in Jane Eyre, right?
Yeah.
I think she's just so upset she cannot, like, and has no food and just kind of wastes away in the moors. But I think it'd be pretty. I'm for it. A week of it, sure.
I'm going to say attic, like flowers in the attic. Attic, yeah. With my brother.
Wow, that's dark. Like flowers in the attic and almost dying in the moors. I'm just going to say the attic because I just want to, you know, be inside, and if somebody brings me food, that's fine. If it gets too like gloomy, I'll open a window if there's a window. I'm
this
assuming
is going
it's a
back a little bit
to,
this
like,
is going a little bit
not like my
to,
attic
my Lady Jane, where we were like, do you want to be up in the tower?
Yeah,
I kind of want to be up in the tower. Rapunzel style.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that they deliver food, and if they deliver food to the attic, then
you're certainly well kept in the attic. You can't survive a year without food. You see, I've been to the moors, I've been to the Yorkshire moors, and I've been to the Dartmouth moors, and I was attacked by a horse on the Dartmouth moors because they have Dartmoor ponies. Horse? They have Dartmoor ponies on the moors, the wild, and the tiny.
I just can't imagine a horse attacking anything.
Well, I was a child, so it probably wasn't attacking me. It was probably me being a wiener. And they just had all these, they have these tiny little Dartmoor ponies on the moors in the wild. And the gorgeous creatures. And this one was like a gorgeous chestnut brown and had like blonder hair, and it was beautiful. And I went up to it. and they were coming up to the tourists, and then it kind of went "Moo!" at me. And I went, ah!
Can you repeat what it said?
Nay.
What it said?
I think, to be fair, I was probably about 9 years old, and I just screamed my head off and then ran hell for leather back to the car and refused point blank to leave the car at that point. So I'm in the attic. I'm not...
You've already been traumatized by the Morse.
I don't need that again. though a week of weight loss regime could be quite good. This lockdown's done hell for my waistline.
That doesn't seem healthy, though.
Okay, attic's probably a better one. I'm going the attic.
I think so, too. Even if it's for a year, I think I would rather be in the attic. I mean, I rarely leave my house anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, aside from being quarantined, so I might as well just stay in an attic for a year.
I mean, I assume there's books and food.
Yeah, like dusty old costume trunks, maybe. Haunted film reels.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I could entertain myself.
You could be a crazy old lady in the attic. I mean, you know, that's a life ambition as far as I'm concerned.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, and then sometimes you can, like, when everybody else in the house is sleeping, you can make noises, like bang on the walls and stuff.
Yeah.
And make them think that the house is haunted.
Yeah. I see no downside.
Mm-hmm. That should be a book.
It should be a book.
Oh, dear me. Okay, next question. Would you rather marry Alexander or Mr. Rochester or Branwell?
Alexander. He's my bae.
I feel like there was some swooning happening just then.
He's hot.
Thank you.
With the swoopy coat. Yeah, the hair. Yeah. Woo.
That's just because you wrote Charlotte.
What's your excuse?
He's the only one that seems semi-normal.
He doesn't dress up as a fortune teller and try to trick you into figuring out what you think about him.
I know. The worst gaslighter ever.
There was just so many red flags.
Yeah, there really were a lot of red flags. I kind of like Branwell.
He is cute.
Yeah, I kind of like him.
It's the nerdy.
Is Cynthia wrote him too?
He's my brother.
I mean, he's just like a touch awkward. So I have, a thing for awkwardness. Mm-hmm. So.
He's a little awkward. Well,
since I wrote Alexander and it would be awkward to marry myself, although maybe not a terrible idea, and Charlotte isn't on the list, I guess Branwell?
I'll share him with you.
Branwell is sweet. He'll do right by you.
I think he would. Yeah. I think he would.
So, Rochester are we talking though? Are we talking about Mr. Rochester of, formerly possessed? Elder Mr. Rochester, the ghost possessing his brother, or Edward Rochester, who turns up at the end and is told dark and handsome and of an appropriate age.
He's pretty cool.
That's true.
Yeah, I'd go for him.
Yeah,
the young and hunky one.
My answer stays. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still going to marry Branwell. Yeah. That's all our Would You Rather questions.
Yay.
Thank you so much for joining us on our Would You Rather game. It was fantastic.
Thank you.
Yay. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Yay.
So that was our fabulous game of Would You Rather with the Janeses.
It was excellent. And now we are going to jump straight into our interview where we discuss big cocks, human chili, and having a good pen.
Enjoy.
And now we have some more questions, if you guys still have time.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Of course.
Okay. I have a really important question. Who is responsible for the not so secretly adding the Sorcerer's Stone quest? Because that was hilarious. And as you probably might have guessed, I snort laughed when I read that. So who's responsible for that?
What chapter is that
it's
in?
It's near the end.
Who writes that chapter?
What I think part is that in?
I think it's in my chapter, I don't think I wrote it. Like,
I think isn't it in the chapter where they're discussing how to find the Book of the Dead?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why I know it's in the desk drawer.
Isn't that the one where Jade just goes, I've got it? And like,
yeah, like, we don't have to worry about that. I've already got it. It's fine. Like, oh, we can skip that step then.
Oh, we were.
Yeah, I don't remember which one of us wrote it. It's funny how, like, even when we each write a character, we cross write so much into each other's stuff that, and we add jokes and mm-hmm. and come up with ideas to put things in, that it's sometimes it's just really hard to remember which of us wrote what.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I wrote Helen.
Yes. Helen is 100% Brody's creation.
Helen was fantastic. Love Helen. So good job. Thank you for including her.
I always have to point that out because I love her so much. So.
Me too. She was really great.
Every time Helen was like saying about Mr. Rochester being just, he's old. No, he's not good for you. He dressed as a fortune teller. I was like, and Helen is all of us. And Helen speaks the truth again.
Yes.
Completely.
Yeah, she really got to be the voice of reason. Yeah.
I will say that I was a little bit sad that when Alexander was drowning and climbing on top of the carriage door, that there was no mention of there being enough room for two people on the door. I felt like that would be something that you guys would make a reference to, and it didn't happen. No. And I was sad.
Wow. That's a missed opportunity.
Really
we
was.
Do have a reference to it in Contrary Mary.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. I'll have that to look forward to then. So. Thank you. Thanks yeah. for that spoiler.
See, I just like the inclusions of like Princess Bride in them every time. I'm like, yeah. That's
pretty great. I think the lack of that reference was probably my fault since it was in my chapter. So I'm really sorry for failing you.
You did. You really let me down.
Oh, you are so harsh.
I'm sorry.
I know. It was really bad. It was just such a missed opportunity. But I'm glad that it's coming, that I can expect it in future.
Don't worry. It will haunt me for the rest of my life.
Oh, no.
As a ghost.
Does that mean you're a beacon? It's going to be compelled to follow you around and haunt you all the time?
No, I assume that it's just like haunting like my hair tie or something.
Oh, okay. That's fine too.
If you take it off, you'll be fine. You know.
Just don't get bopped with it.
Oh, yeah.
You'll be okay.
After you wrote the book, did you just go around fit like wanting to just bop everybody on the head with a teacup or something and just bop? What? Why are you doing this to me? Just being careful. I know I would.
I love how angry he got. Stop hitting me with teacups.
It's understandable. Would you like to be like fantastic. Hit repeatedly with a teacup?
No, I wouldn't.
See? It's understandable. Next question. So, in the My Lady Jane, Jodie mentioned that you came to London and you went and visited a lot of the Lady Jane Grey historical sites. Was there anywhere that you went to for Bronte's for My Lady Jane? Oh, no.
Sadly, no. We were broke by then. We did plan a trip, like, we did sort of a cost, like when we do a research trip, I usually plan it and then figure out how much it'll cost. So I did that, but it was just too much for us at that point. So we were really sad about it. We did a lot of like internet, you know, look and watching tons of documentaries about that area and about Charlotte Bronte and a lot of internet research, but we didn't actually go this time.
Yeah, we would have liked to.
We did read a whole pile of books too, but like for the setting to like understand the visual part of it. Yeah, we didn't get to go.
What we really need is just fountains of travel money. Fountains.
It would be nice. A money fountain, yes.
Yeah.
Can you write one into a book? Has it already happened? Does that happen in Calamity Jane?
They'd like that.
We wrote an ale fountain, not a money fountain.
Can't wait to read that one, P.S. I'm dying. I'm dying to read that one, just so you all know.
I hear it's good. Calamity? We love Calamity. It was a calamity to write. We had to rewrite it probably four times.
Did you fight over who got to write whose part in this one then?
No.
No, when we first started, we thought it was going to be Jane and Helen. Jodie was going to write Helen, And then we didn't know what character I was going to write. And so there was a lot of things thrown out. Maybe we would write a bunch of different people as the third character or whatever. And then we had a breakfast with our editor, and our editor was like, Helen shouldn't be a point of view character because she goes to all of the places that Jane goes. So she doesn't really have anything new to bring to it. And then we started talking about, when we were talking about all the different characters, I was like, it'd really be really cool to have a chapter with Charlotte, you know? So then we lit on Charlotte and then created Alexander to represent the society and all of that stuff. So we kind of fell naturally into it that time.
Mm-hmm.
Brody was going to write Jane. Like, that was always the start.
We each take turns writing the main character, and I was not looking forward to writing Jane because she's a very serious character. So the fact that she had Helen as her friend helped me. It helped in the writing process.
That's fantastic.
Are you Bronte fans then? Because there's a lot of Austen mentions. So are you more Bronte or Austen fan?
I'm probably more of an Austen fan than Bronte, although I really think that she was sort of brave and fearless, and I appreciate her as a writer so much, you know, and feel like she did so much. But I probably enjoy Austen more.
Me too, Austen.
I personally I'm an Austenite, and I think Austen is much more accessible. And I got into a fight with my friend Fiona, whose favourite book is Jane Eyre. So she's very, very much looking forward to this episode and hearing your guys' thoughts. And, you know, she's her go-to book whenever she's feeling really crappy is always Jane Eyre. So she's all very excited about it, and to replay my play in Jane as well. It's interesting that you went with Jane Eyre when it might not necessarily be the book of choice, your personal book of choice. So why did you go for Jane Eyre?
I think we were actually writing Calamity Jane second after My Lady Jane. And then our publisher wanted us to write something in between. So all of a sudden we had to come up with another Jane, and they talked about writing a Jane Austen one, and we were like, well, what we try to do is take a woman who has been kind of screwed over by history and give her a different ending. And we didn't feel like Jane Austen was screwed over by history. And we're like, and when we were thinking about sort of sad stories to give happy endings to, we did think about Jane Eyre and Charlotte Bronte specifically. So we're sort of trickily fixing Charlotte Bronte's story and using Jane as a way to still have it be called Jane, you know, and still be about a Jane. So we kind of tweaked that as much as we could so that we could write about a fictional character but also save a real person. And I think her story, Charlotte Bronte's story, really spoke to me, you know, I think that's how we got into it. How did we get into it?
And as much as we appreciate the writing of Jane Eyre, we also recognize that there are certain aspects of that story that might not fit into the way we think today. So we definitely wanted to pay homage to Charlotte Bronte while also fixing Jane Eyre's story.
Mm-hmm. I think I had not read Jane Eyre by the time that we decided to write this book, so I really fast read it. And I think probably the amount that you love it might have something to do with when you read it. So I was in my 30s the first time I read it. And by the time like certain events started happening, I thought my head might explode.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
And yeah, I was really feeling like the feminist rage. So I was ready to challenge that gaslighting.
Very, very true.
In fact, one of our biggest fights as co-authors happened.
You have to now.
We're gonna talk about that.
Yeah, you have to now. What have you done? I'll tell the story. Okay, so it started on tour for My Lady Jane. We were talking about writing Plain Jane,
and I won't say who, but I was not involved in the fight. there was a discussion that started when we got on the plane, and then everybody was kind of seated far away from each other. Thank goodness. Because otherwise we would have been kicked off the plane. By the time that we, like, then it was just kind of stewing. By the time we got off the plane, the discussion started happening again. All the way, like, to the, you know, to the baggage claim, to the guy with the car.
In front of our driver.
It just kept getting more and more heated. And I generally don't like to sit in the front seat next to the driver. But I wasn't going to be in the middle. so I sat in the front seat next to the driver. And in the back seat, there was a very heated discussion about feminism versus Charlotte's legacy and honoring her work. Very heated. And the driver had started out like really friendly, just, you know, asking how our flight was. And by the time we were like getting close to our hotel, his knuckles were just white on the steering wheel. He just clearly could not wait to get rid of us.
Oh no.
It was,
always, up until that point, we'd always joked about having this big, huge fallout. We would joke to our editor and our agents about how we were going to pretend like we had this big fallout. And then
they never
had,
thought it was funny.
Giant fight.
No, they never laughed at that one time.
But yeah.
We figured it out.
Yeah.
We did. We came to a compromise.
We did.
You know,
so glad that you did.
Yeah.
I love
it. I mean, to be fair, Jane Eyre is a very much book of its time, and you do put in the book in the pre-Victorian, yeah, this is fine. In pre-Victoria, this is fine. Yeah. When pre-Victorian age, ankles, oh my goodness, you know. It's kind of covered.
Can I tell you all a secret?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And everybody sure.
I've never read Jane Austen, Jane Eyre, Charlotte Bronte. I've never read any of those classic things.
It's okay. It's you right. are loved.
You've you read, are welcome. I've read Plain Jane, so you're good.
Yeah, okay. Does that count? I think it yeah. counts. I'm yeah, going to count.
Read Plain Jane. You've basically read Jane Austen. I mean, Jane Eyre.
Read Austen. Okay, I love Austen. Good. I can't get away with Bronte. Any of them.
So we all picked Austen, right?
Yeah. but
oh, she your friend's anyway. Gonna be so pleased.
Sorry, Fiona.
To be fair, yeah, it's what you were saying though, Jordy. It's a time when you read it, and she read it when she was a teenager, so she's got it, you know. It's mm-hmm. not just the book, it's not the book itself, it's the sensations of remembering that first time that you read it. So yeah, that's kind of what I said. Yeah. That's what I've said about Harry Potter. People who've read it when they were younger, they kind of gelled with Harry Potter a lot differently to me, who read it last year.
I'm still so proud of you for reading it.
I only did it because it was on the podcast, and I wasn't even a host then.
Just you so just much. Liked me so yes. much that you had to read
that
it.
And the look of disgust you gave me when I said I hadn't read it. It's still burned in my retina. It's fine.
Sorry. I'm not sorry.
Are there any Janes that you would have loved to have covered, but you haven't?
Any Janes?
Is there a Jane that you would have fought for? Like, no, I want to cover this Jane. Because you're moving on to Mary's.
We did laugh about Joan of Arc being kind of a Jane.
Oh, that would have been nice for her to have had a happy ending and not, you know, burnt on the stake. That sucks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a downer.
Yeah, that's not good for anyone.
Totally thought to be burned on the stake.
You're doing Mary's next, aren't you? Mm-hmm. Very excited.
I'm excited for those two. Because there's Titanic references only. That's the only reason why.
Yeah.
We're just finishing up.
My Contrary Mary is probably the most romantic book we've written.
Oh, really?
It's really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I really loved writing that one.
Are there any animal transformations in that one? Any handsome horses?
There are many animal transformations, okay. Yes. Because it takes place in the same world.
Yeah, good. Good. I'm so glad that Ghost Gifford popped up. So glad that happened. I'm like, oh, yay, there he is.
I love him so much. I think you texted me, didn't you? He was like, oh, Ghost Gifford. I'm
like, horse, there's a horse. Yeah, yeah, I got excited about that one. Oh, I love it. After we had our Lady Jane episode, I made, we have a shop for our podcast, and I made 2 horse shirts that are now on the shop. So if you guys need a horse shirt based on your own work.
I need a horse shirt. Yeah. I never knew that, but I need a horse shirt. That is a need, not a want.
Yes. They're shop.spreadshirt.com/fictionalhangover. Please feel free to buy a horse shirt because they're...
We should probably start advertising properly.
I mean, we really should because those shirts are the best.
Can you send me the link?
Sure. Yeah. One of them is says why the long face and there's a horse face. And then I said forced to horse several times during that episode. So there's a forced to horse shirt too.
Hilarious.
So clearly.
I love Stanford.
If there's nothing that we don't love, it's a pun.
Right. Who is the punner? Are you all punners? Who's the punner?
All of us.
I think we all pun. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. We find puns very punny.
That's why we love you so much.
I think we got into a pun battle once on Twitter. That was very fun.
Over.
We did.
Jody wrote the funniest line. It would be a spoiler. I can't say it.
Oh, you can say spoilers. We like spoilers. We believe in spoilers.
No, spoiler for Calamity. So are you talking about
Calamity? He swallowed a fly. He didn't know why he thought he would die when he swallowed the fly.
Yeah, that one hasn't even been through copy edits yet, so.
I know. It's a very early spoiler, so there you go. Jody wrote.
I'm excited.
My words, just noise.
I can't wait. What other questions do we have to ask? Oh, do you believe in ghosts? And have you ever had a ghostly experience?
Yes.
What happened? Please explain.
I got very quiet.
No, I won't go into details. I just, I think I had a ghostly experience like last month. Think I did.
Whoa.
Was it frightening?
No.
Oh, okay.
It was good. Yeah.
Okay.
It was good. I mean my co-authors know, but I was very sick the last couple months and I ended up in the hospital. And yeah, so those are around the times when you have ghostly experiences, and it was a really good one. So
well, good. Yeah. I'm glad that you're well.
But yes, I believe in ghosts. Yeah, yeah.
Did you believe in ghosts before doing My Plain Jane? Oh.
No.
Mm-mm. Not even, like, before that experience? You didn't?
No.
Moving on.
Anyway, sorry. Long story. Move on to the next question.
Yeah, that's cool, though. That's a cool story.
What about you, Cynthia?
Yeah, I think I do. Same sort of reason. Like, the thing that I think of as a ghost experience is kind of really personal.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But, when I was writing my book, The Last Time We Say Goodbye, the three of us were together, and my character in that book went to, like a medium. And so I wanted us to do the research. And so the three of us, all three Janes, went to this one medium, and Brody and I were like so excited. And Jody was like taking notes on the whole thing. And she was so obviously a charlatan, like immediately she's like, I sense a male presence. And Brody and I were just like, oh, and then she ended up talking about like our spirit guides, who were like a 400-year-old monk who was helping us write our books.
That's creepy. I mean, yeah. Not spooky creepy, lecherous creepy.
Yeah,
it was a little bit.
Where were we? Clearly done some Googling.
Why would you have 400? Yeah, I mean, no disrespect, you're American. Why would you have a 400-year-old monk looking after you? Is America 400-year-old yet?
Fair question.
Would you have had monks 400 years?
Yeah.
Well, I did get a whole scene of it.
That's the main thing.
I get a whole scene for my book from the experience, regardless. So it was good, but in a sort of disappointing way.
It was... Hey, at least it was for research purposes. It achieved something. For you.
Oh man!
What about you, Jordy?
I can't think of any experiences.
Yeah.
But I guess I don't really have any reason not to believe.
Yeah.
So, I mean, unless hard evidence comes out one way or the other.
I love those ghost hunting programs, like ghost adventures and stuff that are just so terrible or good. And I've done ghost hunts before, but there's something about being locked in a castle that's like 1,000 years old overnight in the dark where you're like, this is spooky, but I don't believe there's necessarily a spirit there. But then the lights go out and you're like, ah, I'm trapped on the stairs and I can't see where I'm going. Yeah. I think you're right though. Ghost, actual potential supernatural ghost experience are probably more personal than what a spiritualist medium with 1,500 people will give you. Possibly.
I like going to haunted hotels. I've never had any experiences. I've stayed in the Stanley Hotel, and that was fun. And
is that the one from Stephen King?
Yeah. And I got married in a haunted chapel that was nearby a haunted hotel in northern Arkansas. It's called the Crescent Hotel. That was fun. We did the haunted places on purpose, but
you keep trying.
I know.
You're trying to have an experience.
One day we might, but
I'm gonna take you to Chillingham Castle when you eventually come here.
Oh, okay.
It's supposed to be one of the most haunted castles in Northumberland. Cool.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go. We kind of talked about Jody being quarantined in a yarn bomb tower. Where is everyone else imaginarily quarantined?
Dream quarantine.
Not for real. You don't have to tell us where you really are. But last time Jody was in a yarn bombed tower, so
I'm still there.
You're still there.
Good. I feel like
good.
I feel like I'm quarantined and my son has been obsessed. He's been like the youngest doomsday prepper ever. So this is in some ways really exciting for him. I feel like I'm in like an extended version of my son's bunker. But there's yarn. So
that's good. That's good.
I'm quarantined in Salt Lake City. And but the funny thing is that I told you I've been sick and I just recently saw a new doctor who gave me a new prescription, and I normally take Adderall every day because of ADHD, and with this new prescription, the pharmacist had put the wrong prescription on, stapled the wrong prescription on the bag. So like 2 days ago, I took at 8 o'clock at night, I took the new prescription, and it was supposed to be something to calm me down, but it was actually another dose of Adderall.
Oh, and no. So,
and I started recondoing my whole house. I was just like organizing like the room. I call it the room of requirement, which is basically my study, which has everything just shoved in it, and then I close the door, you know, and I start organizing it, and I'm like, why am I so productive? And I cleaned all the boys' sheets and changed their bedding and everything, and then I realized, I looked at the prescription and realized that I had taken the wrong medication, and it was a double dose of Adderall. So basically all night I'd be about to fall asleep, and I'd just wake up with a jolt.
That's
and,
awful.
Oh no. Yeah. Yikes.
But my house is clean.
Well, that's quarantined in the cleanest house ever.
And I'm like, why am I so in Marie Kondo in my house?
I would say it's a top tip, but please take drugs prescribed by the doctor properly.
I know. Yes, as a tip to all of the listeners out there, take the drugs that are actually the label on the bottle was right. It was the label that was on the bag that was stapled shut that was wrong. Yes. Yes. So I'm suing.
Long story short, I'm suing your house.
So clean.
Yeah, so now you'll all have travel money again, and it'll be fine. But surely you'll share. That's your money fountain. Double dose of Adderall.
Oh, that's crazy. Anyway, speaking of crazy, what is the most absurd idea you've ever come up with that hasn't made it into a book? Is this something you've come up with?
We did float around an idea about writing a Jane book about the Donner Party.
Yeah.
Funny, it is a funny cannibal story.
I'd read that.
Yeah.
I would read that.
That was not tasteful.
Very funny.
I feel like I need that.
Yeah, we did. We did. We even, didn't we drive by where they,
I did. I drove by.
You drove by where they stopped and
sometimes we just mix up our memories too, obviously.
I'm like, which one of us? It was one of us that drove by.
It's the hive mind. If one does it, we all do it.
You know, actually, when Cynthia first floated the idea of My Lady Jane, I was like, we're going to tell a funny beheading story. And we did.
You did. You succeeded.
Yeah. So maybe we could tell a funny cannibal story.
You could start every chapter with a recipe. That'd be nice.
I think that you should try.
Wow.
I think it needs to be done. And you need to send Claire a tiny bit of your profits for that one.
It's got dark so fast.
Oh, it's always like that. Okay, well, here's a nice segue. Speaking of snacks and things, do you have anything that you have to have when you write, like a snack or music or like your favorite chair or anything like that?
Cynthia's chili. So whenever we get together and write,
oh dear,
we always you know we'll make meals and stuff. But Cynthia makes the best chili in the world,
so and she always right now.
Like at the beginning of the week we have it and we eat it and it's yummy.
It's so good.
So what I'm hearing is recipe number one in the cannibal book.
Chili.
Hey, we're substituting.
That chili is a Martha Stewart recipe.
He wouldn't abuse people.
You can't go wrong with Martha.
Yeah, and if you add people to it, then it'll be your own recipe.
Yeah, we'll have to research what people taste like.
Delicious chili. That's what
it's
people
how well you
like.
Season it. I think
I don't want to know.
Oh no! Yeah. Now it's forever. Yeah, chili and people are forever.
Oh no, have I ruined we ruined the chili for you? Because now you're going to imagine people in it every time?
Until the next writing retreat, then you'll totally forget about it and just go num 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 chili.
Don't worry, I plan on forgetting a lot of things.
Probably for the best.
I don't even know what day of the week it is anymore.
I like having coffee, which does not involve people. Of any kind, just making coffee.
Do you microwave your water?
No.
But she has done instant coffee, so, you know.
When pressed, yeah. Like, yes, if there's no coffee available, like real coffee available or a coffee pot, then, I mean, I'll do what I have to.
Okay.
There is always a place for instant coffee. Like, for me, it's first thing in the morning because I'm far too lazy. But there's always a place for instant
coffee. I mean, if you're desperate, and I have been desperate, I will admit, but I don't know.
I don't want instant coffee.
Oh, if it's 6 o'clock in the morning and you've got a child under your feet and you desperately need a cup of coffee, you take what you can get.
Mm.
Cynthia, did you have anything that you need to have?
I've tried really hard not to need anything as like a mom trying to handle it all. I need quiet. Mostly it's the thing that I need most. I do drink coffee a lot. I do I also like tea when I'm working, and I write a lot longhand, so I need a good notebook and a good pen. But
do you have a favorite kind of pen?
I do have some. I like this Uniball Vision Elite that has like a gel ink in it.
Ooh.
it's boring. But it has all the colors have like, they're black but they have an undertone of a different color, so they're black with like an undertone of brown or a black with an undertone of purple, and I really love those. So
yeah, I want those pens. I need those pens.
I buy them by the box.
Can you send me a link? I want to buy your pens.
Sure.
Yay. New pens.
And are you sending us a link for the t-shirts?
Yes, of course. As soon as we wrap up, I'm going to email you guys that. Do we have any other questions? Claire, do you have any other questions that you want to ask?
What is your top writing tip for aspiring writers?
Have a nice pen.
Have a nice pen. Have Cynthia's chili. Some nice and quiet and coffee.
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking of our... Yeah, one time...
Oh, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Tell that story.
That was the hive mind in action right there.
It was. We saw it.
So we were speaking at a Catholic... At a Catholic school, and and normally I write this out when people ask me my best tip for writing, and I say butt in chair, hands on keyboard, mm-hmm. and then so it's B-I-C-H-O-K, and but when we were speaking at this Catholic high school, I didn't have a board behind me or anything, so I said Bic Hawk.
That is not what anybody heard.
But when you say it really fast together, it sounds like Bic Hawk. Big Cock. So what's writing, it's Big Cock. Yeah. And then I didn't realize why everyone was looking at me. It was really, really
strange. So quiet.
It was so quiet. And it sounded very, very nasty what I said.
You get found out by the nuns.
Just I sank. Ask Cynthia and Jody, they were there. I sank behind the desk and I went to a ball. I was so embarrassed. Yeah. So anytime anybody asks us for writing advice, I always think of, unfortunately, I always think of that story. And how I had to explain that I wasn't saying what it sounded like I said.
I think you said it a couple of times because nobody responded the first time.
Nobody responded. I was like, big cock. Big cock. You obviously don't understand. I'm saying big cock. Yeah. It's terrible.
Bertie's advice is very specific.
Not recommended for everybody.
My advice would be don't be afraid of failure. It's okay. It's just a stepping stone on the way to success.
That's a little more somber. I like that one too, though.
Well, having failed a lot, I feel pretty qualified to mention it. My first published book was my 17th finished novel.
Oh, wow.
So a lot of failure on my way to having a book out.
That's awesome, though, because now that you're, out there, maybe you can get some of those other ones on shelves, oh, no. too.
Tell them the story of laminating.
Not worth it.
Yeah, so when we first started doing events together, I don't know that I ever saw this, Brody, but you would talk about having your roll of rejections that you would unfurl across the
laminated them all, and I would roll it out like a big roll of wallpaper.
Yeah, and I thought that was really cool, and also, there's this competitive part of me that knew I had more rejections, and I had a friend who was a teacher at the time, and it was the end of the school year. And I was talking to her about this, and she's like, "We have extra laminate stuff. Print out all the electronic rejections. Come over, we'll get this, and you will have like the heaviest rejection roll in the whole world." So I spent all morning printing out rejections, reading some of them, and crying. Oh. And my printer ran out of toner. Like every insult that could happen. And so right before I was ready to leave the house, my friend texted and she was like, "Okay, so how many do you have though? Like, just to make sure that we're good here." And I was like, maybe 500. And she was like, "Oh gosh, stay home. We don't have that much laminate stuff." So I was also rejected by the laminate machine.
That's salt in the wounds. Oh, no. Oh my goodness.
It is. Yeah. Burn. Oh, yeah. Man.
That's a lot of rejection.
It is a lot, yeah. I still have all of them printed out, but they're over there, so I'm not going to go get them.
Okay.
I'm right here.
Can you make like an artful Instagram post? Can you hide them in one of your Instagram posts?
There's too many to hide.
Oh. Well, then can you make a bookstagram of your...
Of my reduction? Sure, yeah.
Okay, thanks. Just for me.
You see, I would have the rejection letters underneath and then all my actual published works on top and go...
Yeah. That's a way to make it much nicer than what I was imagining.
I'm grateful because I did think that they forced me to become a better writer. Like each one of those rejections told me, except the laminate machine, that was just a jerk, that I needed to become a better writer.
As long as it wasn't just, ha ha ha, are you kidding me? It was, no, not this time, but maybe you need to do X, Y, and Z, for it to be actual constructive criticism rather than, you know, outright rejection. And, you know, that's how you learn.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of them were just form rejections. Mm. But, I mean, like, even that tells you something.
So. Yeah. Have there been any developments on the TV show that you mentioned last time, Jody?
Not that we're allowed to talk about.
Okay. That's fine.
Yeah. It's not dead, though. That's yeah. Good. Still going.
That's good. It's still alive. I think that is the most important development.
That's always a good piece of news.
Yeah. That's good enough for us.
Yeah. We'll take anything.
Yeah, we really will.
Yeah,
everything we've heard about it has been good.
Mm-hmm.
So. Good.
Yeah, we're waiting for more news too.
I can only imagine it's going to be a very slow burn. The amount of time, like length of time it takes, and things normally to get through all of the goalposts, and never mind in lockdown situation, it's probably going to take a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. But at least you know it's there and it's progressing. Exactly.
It's still a thing. I'm very much looking
forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, me too.
So, life lesson. Every episode, we like to pluck something out from the book we're talking about or just life in general and say it taught us this. Has My Plain Jane taught you anything? What was the life lesson, either from writing it or reading it or researching it?
I would say don't stay in bad relationships.
Good one.
That's a really good one.
The thing I learned from Charlotte is it's better to see than to look good. Wear the freaking glasses.
Amen, sister. Amen.
Yeah.
I think the glasses look cute on you.
Mm-hmm. Oh. I don't know. Alexander just started out pretty great and ended pretty great too, so.
I would buy more flowy coats.
Write a character that didn't exist.
But at least Alexander learned that women are just as capable as men when it comes to a workplace. He learned that one fairly well and fairly hard, that, you know, women are just as good as men, if not better, in the workplace.
Yes, and I suppose like get more comfortable chairs for his apartment.
Yeah,
he does need better chairs.
Yeah, or for Alexander, sometimes the answer is right there. I think my favorite scene in that whole book is when they're rifling through Mr. Rochester's desk and they come across all of this stuff about his wife in the attic and all of this stuff, but that's not what Alexander's looking for, so he's just like, this isn't real.
No, it is. Go back.
It's a whole mystery.
I love that part.
Yes.
Nothing that would be remotely useful.
Yes. Okay.
I think there was a bit I was just summarizing at the end, and it was when Wellington's like giving his evil bad guy monologues. He really loved to give his evil bad guy monologues, did Wellington. And I think I just wrote, Wellington doesn't really read the room. And I think, you know, it's probably one of the things I took from it. Read the room, people. Is this the time and place for you to be going on about X, Y, and Z? Let's read the room.
Was Alexander actually Alexander Graham Bell, or did you just did that on purpose?
It was really well published in the book as well, because I had to turn the page for it to go from Alexander dot 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 Bell to Alexander, what's your middle name, Currier Bell. I was like, oh.
That's actually a Charlotte Bronte joke.
Oh.
But because when Charlotte Bronte first published Jane Eyre, she did it under the name Currer Bell. So it was us sneaking the name Currer Bell into it. And then his name was Alexander, and in Alexander Bell, we were like, oh, well, that sounds like it should be Alexander Bell. It's not as funny when you have to explain it. Well, I guess it's not funny. It was just like a Easter egg for Charlotte Bronte people.
See, I've never read it, so I don't know. But now I know the secrets.
You don't have to read it.
That's fine. That's true. We've already figured this out. We've already had this discussion. So is there anything that you guys are excited about that you can talk about that you want to share? It doesn't matter. It can be anything.
Yes, we have a new book coming out in 2 weeks, or not so far whenever this comes out. But yes, it's amazing. It's called My Calamity Jane, and Annie is really cool.
I wonder who wrote Annie.
About it.
So it takes place in the American Wild West, and it's Calamity Jane, Annie Oakley, and Frank Butler. And we had a really hard time writing it, but also a blast. Yeah. And it's really, I'm so proud of it. It's such a fun book. So
yeah. It was a hard
time. I'm looking forward to it. I'd listened to a podcast about Calamity Jane, like the real Calamity Jane, and it was like, her real life was really good. So how are you going to fictionalize it and make it so much funnier? I'm very much looking forward to reading that one.
Me too. So excited.
Such an awesome character, and yeah, Cynthia wrote her so great. It's a really good book.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, she's my best friend.
Yeah.
Good. I like that.
And I wrote Frank, and so Jody and I are in love.
Aww.
Again.
Aww.
We're very cute.
Adorable.
You have a good dog.
We have a whole series of pictures on Instagram that I call the engagement photos of those two being cute like Annie and Frank.
Totally appreciate that, one.
So,
yeah, we love that. So I think that's all that we have for you guys. Yes. But really, thank you so much for taking this time and joining us. It was so amazing to have all three of you in one place at once. Like I don't know how I've kept it in check for this long, but I'm dying, so excited. So thank you so much for joining
thank you, thanks for having us.
And hopefully you can come back and talk Calamity Jane, because we're going to cover that one. We're going to give it a little bit of time and wait for the end of the month to cover Calamity Jane, so maybe you can come back. Yay,
we're there.
Yay, awesome. Okay, thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
We really 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 appreciate you, and we're so excited for Calamity Jane.
Thank you.
We are
too.
Thanks.
Oh,
DMV. Oh, it was fantastic. Oh, I love everything about
it. There's nothing bad about that.
Nope. None of it. It was all perfect.
I feel like there's a lot we need to unpack.
I really think so, too. But you know what? I hope they buy a shirt.
Yeah. You know what? I hope our listeners buy shirts.
I hope everyone buys shirts.
Buy a shirt.
Okay, so buy a shirt. So that's it for this bonus episode of Fictional Hangover. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Claire.
Join us next time as we discuss The Good Luck Girls, written by Charlotte Nicole Davis and narrated by Jeanette Illidge. Contact us if you'd like to join us for an upcoming Would You Rather segment, or if you have any books to recommend. Look out for our next Would You Rather poll on social media, join in on our book club and monthly challenges on Facebook, and don't forget about our shop at shop.spreadshirt.com/fictionalhangover. Until next time, remember, the only cure for a fictional hangover is another book.
You can find us at fictionalhangover.com, follow us on Instagram at fictionalhangover, find us on Facebook at facebook.com/fictionalhangover, and on Twitter at fictionalhangover, no ER. And now on Goodreads at www.goodreads.com/fictionalhangover. And finally, a special thanks to Liz Emerson for our music. You can find her on Facebook and on Patreon. Thanks for listening.